Welcome to the Reborn Fitness Podcast. Welcome to episode number 5. Another interview back across the pond, but slightly different today. We've had a lot of different interviews with S&C coaches and personal trainers and body coaches and different things. But today, I'm really excited about this. I've got a great interview with Josh Remington today, who will be on. And we'll be talking about the business side of sport and what sport gives you. It doesn't just give you the personal training or the coaching or even the playing career. There is the business aspect. And I'm really, really excited to see that today and to discuss that further. And just again, just to give another branch as to what sport can bring to you, the listener, not just necessarily playing or coaching or S&C. There is a business aspect. So without further ado, let's give a big Reborn Fitness welcome to Josh Remington. Josh, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This is a great opportunity.
No, thank you for coming on. I think as I always start, just tell the listeners a little bit more about Josh. Who is Josh?
Yeah, that's a big question. So I'm 29 years old. I'm a native of Indiana here in the United States and currently living in Dallas, Texas. Nice. And I serve as director of marketing for the SMU Mustangs, Southern Methodist University at the college athletics level here in Dallas. Been in the industry about 7 years. This is my seventh year of on-campus work. I've had a chance to work at a few different universities in different capacities. Mm. Went to a small Christian college called Grace College up in Winona Lake, Indiana, studied sport management there, and then also studied sport management for my master's degree at Illinois State University. Yep. So sports has definitely been a big part of my life from the time I was young, not just, in a work capacity, but playing a variety of sports and still trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle now with running and working out and that kind of thing. So, yeah, again, that's kind of me in a nutshell, I guess.
I like it. And what sports did you play when you were younger growing up through high school and college and everything like that?
Yeah. So when I was younger, I played football, baseball, basketball when I was in like elementary school. And then high school, I didn't actually play anything in college, but in high school, I played basketball primarily, played baseball, dabbled in track a little bit. That wasn't my strong suit, but did try. I went to a pretty small high school, Christian private high school. So it was kind of one of those things. If you wanted to go out for a team, you probably could if you wanted to try it. So that was kind of nice because I wasn't an all-star athlete. I was just kind of there. So it was nice to be in a place where I could grow in that environment. And so that was kind of where I focused.
Yeah, no, I like that. And talk to us about where the passion for the business side of sport started to come about. When did you start thinking, actually, this is quite interesting, and started to look into that more?
Yeah, I think when I was in late high school, I knew that I enjoyed sports. I didn't know exactly what that would mean, but I would love to have, done something in that realm. And so initially that started out by wanting to do broadcasting, actually. I thought, man, if I could be the kind of the next, person on ESPN doing some games, that would be pretty cool because I enjoyed, that side of things. And so I initially went to school to study sport management and communications to try to work on that side of it. And then part of the way through, switched over to just a business core and worked on things that way. I think for me, where that passion came from was having had that experience of being a young sports fan sitting in the stands. I was an Ohio State fan, Buckeye fan growing up. So, they, had success with football and I was used to being around sporting events. So I knew what it was like to be a fan in those situations. And so as I got older into college, I felt, man, if there was a way for me to be able to impact how fans view a game, how they follow a team, that would be a pretty special thing. And so a lot of my experience came initially, honestly, from just volunteering at events. I had a professor of sport management pretty early on that was telling us, even as underclassmen, hey, if you want to be able to work in this industry, you have to start getting involved and putting things on a resume before you even graduate, which for some majors, accounting or nursing, some of those healthcare things, you can pretty easily graduate and just step into a role. Whereas with sports, you kind of have to get experience. It's kind of that classic, like, how do I get experience without having experience kind of thing. Those entry level positions were still required some sort of knowledge in that way. So I started volunteering at larger sporting events around Indianapolis, within a couple hours of where I was living at the time. and started putting things on a resume, and that grew into my first internship, which, you know, steamrolled from there. So that's kind of how I got my start, but it all came from being an undergrad and slowly realizing that there were different angles. There were so many different angles you could go, but this was the direction I wanted to go.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's really cool. And growing up, did you have any major dreams before you discovered this, the business side of sport? Was it ever like a playing career, maybe in the baseball, or did you just sort of, what was the dream really growing up for you before you discovered obviously the business side and the marketing side of sport?
You know, quite honestly, I'm not sure I thought about the playing side that much. I think for me, well, quite honestly, it was an understanding of like, I don't think the playing route's going to be my route, but that's okay, you know? But I still knew I enjoyed being around that atmosphere. So even that alone was inspiration to pursue that. And having been living nearby to this university that I went to, or a college, Grace College, where the professors, you know, it was a relatively small class size. They would know you individually. If you were willing to put in the work, they would support you in that. Mm. So I'm very thankful for that time in my education, for sure.
Yeah. And obviously it's a Christian college. I'm a Christian as well. Obviously I go to church. And how big your faith been in that journey growing up, you know, rising up through high school and that faith, trusting, did you feel the Lord put it on your heart, or did you just naturally feel you just discovered it naturally? And how big has your faith been in that journey growing up? Because it's so hard growing up, and it's such a so many distractions, so many things. How big was your faith in that period?
I think my faith has certainly grown throughout this career. Honestly, I'm fortunate. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved at a young age. Mm-hmm. But I think in a lot of ways, though, I was kind of, for a certain portion of my life, I was kind of spoon-fed my faith in some ways. I went to Christian schools. I was in church two or three nights a week. And it was just kind of the way my life was, which is there's nothing wrong with that, except that it kind of developed a little bit of complacency in me going into high school, even going to a Christian college. So I think for me, where I've truly seen the Lord working the most has been post-grad, when I've had opportunities. I've been placed in situations where my faith is tested, or I'm surrounded by, you know, social circles or others that maybe don't match my upbringing and the way of thinking. And so that's really put me in a position of needing to trust and leaning into my faith and really growing that. But naturally, I mean, that's a daily thing still, you know, and absolutely. Dallas has been part of that too. But through high school, again, I was blessed with Christian coaches, and that's my faith has been a huge part of my life. And it's still something in terms of my identity that I want to keep at the top, obviously. But I think I do believe that the Lord has developed me in such a way that I have a passion for these things. And it's just kind of my natural bend towards sports and that whole industry and the team side and everything else, and still being someone who likes to play sports and be active. So it's just part of who I am, who the Lord's made me to be. And it's really been neat to be in a situation where, whether it's because I've done some like youth basketball coaching through a Christian organization and things like that, where I've even seen how sports and faith can interact, especially by being a sport management major at a Christian college. Of course, you're taught to see that lens, but to continue living out my faith as, you know, work on mission and just being the same person regardless of whom I'm around, But faith and sports, has been neat to see how those two things have interacted.
Yeah. And how have you found being in the sporting world? I've been in the sporting world. I was a tennis player up until recently. Didn't quite work out, but, you know, I know, trusting the Lord, he has better plans for me, which is okay. And I'm happy with that. But how is it for you growing up in that sporting? Because I know being in that sporting environment, there's not many Christian influences, and it can feel quite lonely. Even if you're just playing it socially, there's still the people you're around always don't quite see eye to eye. So how was that for you growing up?
Yeah, I think for me, it was really a process of developing, you know, who am I as an individual? Who am I in Christ first? But again, I went through Christian education most of the way through, but that was a base for a lot of what I experienced with sports. But that does not mean that everyone I interacted with, every coach, was on that level. So it still, it was a base understanding about the teams and the coaching staff that I was around, but it still did come down to, hey, you know, there are tough times in basketball games when, you know, you might get fouled really hard and it's going to be hard not to respond a certain way, but you want to think. Yeah. So it's even in those moments, it was, okay, how do I, you know, respond in a brotherly manner here?
Sure,
And I think it's been neat, even working in college athletics, to see like the influence of groups like Fellowship of Christian Athletes and groups like that, to where you go to a meeting, or recently it's been Zoom calls, but you jump on, you're like, oh man, there's like a dozen student athletes in here that I didn't realize were, you know, Christians, or were, you know, trying to build their faith. And so now I know that when I see them at a match or something, that I know a little more about them. And it's, it's cool to see that develop, even at schools, whether they're faith-based or not. To see that develop in student athletes for sure.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. And it says, from losing your resume and doing a bit of research, you're an execution-minded marketer with a passion for professional development, both within yourself and those you're associated with and you come into contact with when you work. Just firstly, talk to us about what an execution-minded marketer is, and then talk to us about, you know, how you strive to improve professional development, both within yourself and with your colleagues and people that you come into contact on a daily basis.
Yeah. So that the execution side of things, that's been a more recent realization that I think is kind of neat to find within myself. I think one mentor I had, a former boss of mine, had made the point that, hey, you know, in an interview process, the question of, you know, what position do you find yourself in within a team, the natural, what feels like the right answer is to say, well, I'm the leader, obviously. Cause like you want to come across that way.
Yeah.
And his, her point was, you can be, yes, it's good to be a leader, but you can be the creative spark plug. You could be the execution minded person. You could be the collaborator. You could be the communication person. So there are so many more roles than just leader follower in a team. Yeah. And so what I realized about myself is I'm a relatively structured type A type person. I love Excel sheets. I love, you know, organizing things and planning documents and all that. So for me, I'm very well rooted in, you know, developing a structure for something and executing an idea, but I may not always be the creative spark plug for the group. If we're supposed to come up with a zany, you know, phrase on a t-shirt or something, I might not come up with the creative for the t-shirt, but I'll order the t-shirts, you know. It's like, know your role, role. And I think that's perfectly okay to have that stance. And now, are there moments when I need to be creative and think outside the box? Absolutely. But I think as I get older, I've realized the importance of surrounding yourself with individuals who do things well that maybe aren't your top two things, to round out your team. And so that actually segues into the second point you were asking about, which is that professional development side. I'm a part of our umbrella organization for college athletics marketing is NACMA, which is the National Association for Collegiate Marketing Administrators.
Okay, sure.
And all that to say, it's a community of individuals across the country who, you know, are just trying to get better, trying to lean into each other and share ideas. And there's usually an annual convention, which now is virtual, but I'm hoping someday they're going to bring it back in person.
Sure,
but
yeah.
it's a great opportunity to get to know others around the country. And so I've been a part of some mentoring relationships as a result of that, both as a mentee being poured into by someone else ahead of me. And also now what's really been fun has been the last year or two to find myself in a position where I'm now getting a little older to where there are others coming up behind me that I can extend that same help to. And that, I love that. That's for me, that's like my favorite thing, when a former, you know, graduate assistant of mine or someone that I was able to mentor can come back and say, hey, you know, that job you shared with me a couple of weeks ago, I actually got offered that position. And it's also that actually I got a call like that this week, which is the greatest reward as someone in this industry, is saying, hey man, I had a chance to, you know, whether just through phone calls or if it was someone I worked with, to build them up and see them succeed. I'm a huge fan of that. So that's why I say that way, because again, professional development, I think for me, is still something I'm, you know, a huge fan of the game. Or a huge student of the game, that is, and trying to grow and realize that I don't have it all figured out. And I mean, just yesterday I had a call with one of my mentors who's ahead of me. So But if I can in turn build up that passion that I have in the industry, build that up in someone else and see them take that and run with it, is a really a special thing.
Yeah. And I think what you touched on is actually such a big lesson to learn. And if you can learn it as soon as possible, I think it's really valuable. Like you said, you say, know yourself, know who you are. And, you know, in a team and, you know, in a group of people, there's always going to be that vocal one who's a communicator, as you say, the creative one, the organizer. And if you know your strengths and surround yourself, that's a really good point that you brought on. So, so thank you for bringing that. It's really important.
Yeah.
It's really, valuable. And as you say, as you know, a person who gives out a lot, and obviously I give out a lot as well. How do you give back to yourself? How do you continue to develop yourself as you give out a lot to other people? Obviously you've got your mentor. What other ways though do you use to continue to keep growing yourself? Obviously you probably, I assume you read the Bible and other things.
Yeah.
What other things as well do you use to keep building yourself up and keep, you know, being able to give out?
Yeah, that's been a focus here recently within my life around the new year timeframe and kind of naturally looking at ways to grow. My faith, again, that does connect that back pretty easily. That's something that's of utmost importance to me. And starting my day, you know, in the right way and seeing things in a proper lens is important. I think that honestly, historically, I've not been much of a reader, but but I've learned recently that with a little extra time here and there to just find ways to grow. And so I've read some books on faith and, you know, building God honoring relationships but then also other things that are, you know, just about books like Marketing Outrageously or The Elusive Fan, these books about, you know, how do you grow in sports marketing? That's how I've seen some growth there. But really I think it comes down to every once in a while, just identifying things that maybe stretch me a little bit. And pursuing those things. I think for me, a couple of years ago, it was, I had moved to Illinois. I was starting as a graduate assistant and going into school, but was looking for a way to handle some stress relief in a healthy way. And so for me, running came around as like, man, I was not someone who enjoyed running, but I picked it up, joined a group and was able to run a marathon and some half marathons and things. And so that was one area for me that was like, man, I never would have seen this as being something I would have enjoyed. But then it just, the group aspect for me is huge, is being around community. I'm a very community minded person, but so that's, you know, that was one way that I've been stretched more recently, through involvement in my local church here in Dallas, joining the safety team, the security team at our bigger church. Okay. I'm not someone who has a law enforcement background or a, you know, I was never a bouncer anywhere.
Sure.
So that adds a different lens for me to see things and feel like I'm giving back, to feel like, I guess I'm still giving of myself, but it's also, it's a two-parter, right? Because I feel like I'm growing relationally with a new group of people. I'm being put in situations where maybe I need to share my faith with someone or ask how they're doing. If maybe we're not sure what their purpose is, you know, by being there that day, if they're a questionable person or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's something that it spooks me just enough because, man, it's like, that's like just barely outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I know over time that it will no longer feel that way. So that's, there are just a couple things I think. But yeah, mentorship's a huge part of that. Having someone above me, or just a good friend that's maybe in the same shoes as I am, just saying, hey, I've seen this about you, you know, that I think you could improve on.
Yeah, no, I can relate with that totally. I'm the same. Have like a sort of mentor, and then I, you know, help out my youth group, local youth group, giving back that way. And that in a sense helps to build me up because, you know, you're giving back to people and you can see they're growing in their relationship and you're trying to, you know, guide them. And no, I can understand that. So talk to us about the move to Texas. Why did you move to Texas and how was that? You know, was that daunting or as you'd moved around quite a bit anyway, was it just quite easy? And yeah, so talk to us about why Texas and how did that go?
Yeah. So, Texas really brought about a great opportunity. I had moved around a couple times relatively close to home within a few hours of where I was from. Texas was another world from there. And yet I knew that I had a blueprint of how I had seen success in the past and knew that there could be, you know, a way to do that again here in Dallas. And so there was a great opportunity at SMU to feel like I was taking an upswing in my career while also, you know, growing personally. And so, I've been here about a year and a half now.
Okay.
And, so that came about. So I was director of marketing at Illinois State University. And then this position, came about as director of marketing at SMU. So, It's definitely been a step up in, I mean, I've lived in like Indianapolis, which is not near as big obviously as Dallas. So it's been an uptick in size for sure.
Sure.
And growing as an individual, and again, learning how to reengage in community and, you know, continue to learn who I am and how does that play itself out when I'm on an island in some ways. And Dallas has been good for that. And so, but even knowing about the opportunity at SMU came about as a result of a mentorship conversation, where someone who had been in my corner in my career said, hey, there's this position that's going to be, hadn't even been posted yet, but saying, hey, someone that used to work for me is vacating this position. So it's going to be open. I've heard they're leaving. So just, you know, keep an eye out for that if that's something you might want to pursue. And then that interview process came and went and was fortunate to be offered the position. So it's been a tremendous place for growth it's amazing. I mean, I'm a Midwesterner and never would have seen myself living in the South, but it's really been a unique experience and I'm thankful for it.
Good. And just talk to us, what your role as a director of marketing at SMU inquires, what does a standard day look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I love what I do. My favorite part of my job is that for football, American football that is, and men's basketball, my job is to what we would consider script. We script the in-venue elements that happen throughout the game. So anything from start to finish, the videos that play on the board, the team entrances with pyrotechnics and the video board and the music and all that. I put together documents that say what's happening when.
Okay.
And then I'm on a headset with like our marching band director, our video team, the DJ, and more. It's just being a producer. It's saying, okay, stand by this video, can play that. Yep. And then do this. And again, being someone whose passion really came from knowing what it's like to be a sports fan, that's my favorite part of my job, because I know that I have an opportunity to help our fans shape how they see game day, whether it's through some engaging, you know, fan cam that happens during a timeout, or it's, you know, working with the band to allow them to play, which our fans enjoy. So that's definitely one of my larger roles, is developing that script, if you will, which it's something that, now that I'm in that side of the industry, it's something that's hard to turn off. You go to I go to a Dallas Mavericks game or a Dallas Stars hockey game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do during this timeout. And then you find yourself watching the same things on the video board and how they do music and different things. So that's kind of a funny side effect. It's hard to turn off, but so that's a big part of my role right now. I also help oversee our social media. So our SMU Mustangs Facebook page is primarily what I help oversee and engage our fans in that way, but also oversee our graduate assistant staff. I work with one of our graduate assistants on volleyball. So the same things that I do for football and men's basketball, he does for volleyball with the intro video and all that. So helping manage those relationships and oversee them, and working with coaching staffs is a big part as well. Just communicate. It's a lot of just collaboration and communication. We work very heavily with our PR, public relations department, and ensuring that what we're sending out is the messaging we want to have out there. And then also communicating with coaching staffs, helping them understand expectations of, hey, just so you know, we are going to, you know, we're printing posters, we're filming intro videos, we're, you know, curating social media content for them. And so it's a lot of just communication in that regard. So I enjoy it. Again, I think a lot of our focus from a marketing standpoint has to come back to what kind of engagement we're seeing in the community or on social media, but also how's that translating to attendance of actually getting butts in seats at sporting events, which this year, of course, has been a wild year to work in marketing because we've had to, you know, even just budget wise, there's been understandably a much bigger focus on just the operating costs of the department for the year. And so things like marketing or those flashier elements, maybe the, you know, the pyrotechnics, things like that, or it's understood, hey, maybe this year we're going to have to set those aside, but here's how we can still continue to impact our fans. But we are fortunate. We've had fans in the stands this year at football, men's basketball. So that's been nice to have real live people sitting there. And we've had some cardboard cutouts, but we've had real fans too, which is nice.
Yeah. And how has the whole thing been, the pandemic over there, with your job obviously impacting it?
it's definitely been a unique opportunity, and I'll spin this, I guess, in a positive light. It's been a unique opportunity to look into how we do things and find areas that we can improve. And I think in some ways, COVID's been helpful, because I know for our department, it was an opportunity to say goodbye to maybe some antiquated marketing, you know, different streams of doing marketing, or, you know, printing tickets. Now it's all digital. It's all digital and contactless. Yeah. Just like little things like that, where it's like, hey, we've been kind of hoping to do this, but now is our excuse. Now we need to. And it comes down to an education piece at that point of working with our fans to say, hey, we know you're accustomed to doing things this way. We're going to need you to do it this way for the betterment of everyone. And it's been a growing process. It's been an education process for all of us, but I think our fans have adapted well. And I'm really honestly excited to move forward and see how things grow, you know, ideally in a normal season. Hopefully by the time we come back around in the fall, it'll look a little different. And so we can see how those things really change moving forward. But COVID for the long time really had us on our heels. I mean, last year, I look back on like the day sports died. I was supposed to work a conference tournament for basketball and do the same kinds of things that I do now in my role of doing the video boards and all that. Mm-mm. And then it was just kind of this weird day where the teams, you know, it was like, yeah, we were supposed to have games, and then we didn't have any games. Wow. And then it was like, all right, and that's not going to happen anymore. So that was March, obviously. So that was kind of how things launched. And then most of the summer we were trying to plan things for the fall without really knowing what we were going to be able to work with attendance wise, what kind of budgeting we were going to have. We had submitted a budget, and then it was basically given back to us a little less on top than what we'd given it, and which is understandable. And that's part of being a team player and realizing we're here to support. And I'm just thankful that in our department, I mean, we haven't had any large scale layoffs or furloughs. I never had to take time off. Very thankful for that. And Texas has been relatively, I mean, we went back to the office in June. And we've been working back. So I know that even for colleagues across the country, that's what's interesting about working on a university side of things, is that for as many universities or states as there are, there's that many different approaches to when people go back to the office, how they do it, what they're spending their money on. And so that's where, again, being a part of some larger, you know, the larger community aspect of our industry, it's been fun to stay in touch with people and see how they're doing it.
Yeah, I love that. And talk to us about the process. How long is the process? So do you have like a theme for each season, or is it as the season goes on, your promotions and things you put on the screen change? Mm-hmm. And how long does that take to, you know, find the idea, put it down on paper, get it, send it to certain people to do their parts before it then goes on? Because I'm guessing it has to be quite a quick process.
It depends on what it is. Okay. So one thing, like for football, we've had this a larger scope campaign called our Born and Raised campaign, which really started within the football team saying, hey, our bread and butter are going to be players that are coming out of the local area. They're born and raised in Dallas, and that we want them to stay here. It was a big recruiting push, and it still is. Yeah. And it's been very effective. Now it also was coupled with some fortunate success on the field that doubled down those efforts. But that relationship with the city of Dallas has certainly grown. That's something that takes time. That was really ramping up right when I got here. I was happy to just kind of ride the coattails of it. And now it's fun to be here a couple of years and be part of those conversations. Mm. But that's definitely something that has to grow over time, because you need buy-in from the community. You need, you know, different individuals to come out and support that effort. I think for other things like a promotional schedule, as we would call it, for like men's basketball, that's something where the season's going to start, you know, typically in November somewhere. And I would start developing those theme days and some of those things earlier in the fall, maybe like September, August, September. Yep. So I put down some ideas on paper, but some of that is, it's not just me bringing that to the team. It's also working well enough with the team to say, hey, I know, you know, you guys have a focus on this community effort, or like for volleyball, one of their community engagement efforts is through a group called Dallas Life, which is kind of a homeless shelter and kind of a rehabilitation group to get people back on their feet and back out the door.
Sure.
And so that's a group that they work with in the off season to do some events, you know, in a normal year and things like that, to where we know going into the season, hey, we're going to have a Dallas Life match that is their biggest effort of the year. It's, having people donate things and that kind of thing. So some of those come from the team, whereas we just help them find a date for it and then support their efforts in it.
Yeah.
But some of those things do come up last minute. And that's where, again, sharing ideas with others across the country, you have to be cautious with copying ideas, because just because it worked somewhere else does not mean that you have the same audience that's going to be as receptive to it here, and that's a good lesson to have. I've learned the hard way sometimes with that, where I'm like, hey, they did this and it was really successful. I want to do it here. And then it wasn't successful. But everybody in our industry has a story or two like that, but no, it does take time. And that's where, again, as a seasonal planner myself, to sit down at the beginning of the year and kind of look over the scope of things and how we want to map it out. That's how I would normally go about that. This year with basketball was a little different because I stayed away from doing larger theme nights and things like that at basketball because we've had games shift around. I mean, you could go about planning an event for a month, and then 2 days before the game, they push it 2 days back to where the vendors couldn't make it. So I'm just like, you know what? We're going to do what we can with our limited attendance. We're going to make the most of it. And a big part of that is working with our sports properties, sponsorship sales group, to determine how to activate on game days, the things that they've sold. And so we work closely with them to fill our games with engaging content and find ways to keep fans engaged. But some of that is a little more easily executed, even if things get moved around, which adaptability and flexibility are the name of the game right now.
Right. Yeah. And how similar are the marketing strategies between obviously American football and basketball? Can you use the same things, or are they actually quite different in how you market each event?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for football, especially football in Texas, that's the king for sure.
Yeah.
And so we know for a fact that our fan base is primarily paying attention to football. Men's basketball has had success recently, but our fans were a little more engaged with that maybe 5-6 years ago. We had won some conference championships.
Sure.
And our fans are really on that. But football is king down here. So what we do really, in some ways, though, you can leverage the football side to help support the other teams. I mean, we're promoting, any given home football game, we were promoting the other sports at the same time, because you've got your captive audience there and they're engaged and they're listening. So you might as well use that to support your other sports. And so I think for sure football is the easiest thing to push out there. It's what we know people are going to respond to the quickest. But then allowing all ships to rise, if you will, by bringing football up. So I think with basketball, what's a little different with basketball are the group sales opportunities.
Okay.
This year's a little different. Obviously we haven't done it as much, but in a normal year, you'd have opportunities with youth teams to sell, halftime scrimmage time on the court and things like that, where football, you have some of that, but it's more event-based. It's like, hey, come to this gathering. You can sell them, tailgate spots, and they'll come out and have a group that gets, a larger group of 20 or more, and they have a group, percentage off on their tickets and things like that. So you definitely have opportunities at football for larger groups, things even like reunions and different larger things like that. Whereas basketball, you can engage a little easier with, youth teams and smaller groups like that, but actually do some pretty cool, high five lines and things like that'll get them on the court that maybe was not as readily available at football. But really, even for football at our level, we really do feel like our teams are accessible. And that's what's fun with our kids club and things like that, where, if we schedule things out well enough, we can have in a normal year, because all of our planning is different this year. We're not doing half these things this year, when you have a spring football game, when fans can come out and see the team scrimmage, and then they could have an autograph session and take pictures and things like that. Whereas that's not always available at some of the larger levels of college football. And so I think that's really a unique opportunity, with our team and with our fans. But the thing that I've learned above all else here in Dallas loves a winner. They will get behind some team that's coming out of the woodwork being successful. And so I think what's been a fun thing about SMU is that we're this, you know, kind of a niche demographic of a university. They're part of Highland Park. It's a higher income area. Mm-hmm. And some in Dallas just don't as naturally relate to that side of things. But when you start promoting student athletes who are, you know, born and raised in the area, sure, and they go to play at SMU, it makes it, hey, we want to be Dallas's team. We want to be here for everybody and make everyone feel like they're a part of what we're doing. And so that has started within our football program. We've supported it as a marketing staff and helped get that awareness out there. But it's been pretty fun to see it grow and see others come to see SMU as the University of Dallas, if you will. And, okay, yeah, and it's pretty intense. I mean, we've got to compete with the Big Four, you know, NHL, okay, and NFL and NBA and all the different sports outlets. But it's been a fun time to be at SMU for sure.
And how big's your stadium for American football? Because if people in the UK don't realize, but I obviously am a big fan of American sports. Mm-hmm. I love them. And it's always been a dream one to go over and watch them. Obviously, college football out there is massive, isn't it? So mm-hmm. How big's your stadium out there for your
so
team?
So ours is not as big as some. Okay. We fit about, I want to say 35,000. Wow. Whereas like I grew up, Ohio State football games,
yeah,
get 100,000 people there.
No way.
And it's insane. Yeah. So
that's quality.
But it is. And what's really fun is, our student area on the one, there's like a grassy hill on one end of our stadium. That's kind of the student area right now.
Okay.
And they've made it their own and we're really hoping that the success we've had the last 2 years is going to continue to grow that support. But yeah, so it's a bigger venue for sure. And the first football game that I did that I handled the game presentation for, the first football game I did here at SMU was automatically the largest attendance I've ever done that in front of. So I was my first game sitting down, I was like, oh man, I've never done this. I've never done this job in front of this many eyeballs.
Gosh.
But it's fun and it's dynamic and I enjoy it for that reason. Is that every game, you know, things are going to come up and there's a lot of moving parts but it's a team effort. Couldn't do it without those that I work with.
Yeah. And do you feel pressure? You know, obviously, do you feel pressure? Like when you're creating these things and they go on the screen and how do you know what you've done has been a success? You know, and how have you responded when you've had a bad experience and you sort of just know that hasn't gone down well? How have you bounced back to make sure the next time that you're in that position, you just got a feeling, yeah, I know this mm-hmm. is going to be really good?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that for me, I can see when the fans are responding. I work out of the press box in our okay. stadium. So I'll pull the window up so I can actually hear the noise in the bowl. And the best thing is just hearing fans cheering louder and louder. Yeah, and so one thing that part of my job requires is, hey, dead air space is not your friend. You have to fill time. And whether that's, you know, and that's what's nice about having a professional DJ be over my shoulder in our press box. I know that, you know, any given moment, we have some, you know, public address announcement about something, but the second that's done, he's playing music and I don't have to be on a laptop scrambling to find something. Yeah, so I've been in that situation before. Okay. I've had to learn from that. But so I think for me, fan interaction with what's being put on the board or the music that's being played, that's by far the best thing. I mean, and that comes down to why we do what we do, because for me, it's a combination of, you know, complimenting the student athletes' efforts on the field and playing music for them and seeing them get hype on a kickoff or something like that. Versus like we did a Lion King fan cam last year where I've seen that done other places. I thought that was an example of like, hey, they've done it over there. It's the old R&D rip off and duplicate method of like, hey, they did it there. I'm going to try it here.
Yeah.
And we did a Lion King cam at homecoming. It was a day game. There were younger fans there and there were parents that would, you know, as Lion it happens in the movie, they would lift up their kids to show them like they were Simba, on the screen. And that makes me laugh. I've seen the clip since then. It cracks me up every time because it's funny. The fans are laughing at each other. And that's when I really feel like, man, that went well. They responded well to that. But not everything does get picked up that well, especially this year with COVID. We've had to move a lot of things from being like on-field promotions and you know, funny little games to being like video-based or something like that to where it just doesn't have the same effect. But football generally it's easier to move in and out of those elements versus basketball. Basketball is a much more intimate environment that when, if there's 5 seconds of dead air space, it feels like 10 minutes because it's just because the air gets sucked out of there so quickly. Whereas football, there, with that many people, there's, I mean, thousands of people in the stands. We have 7,000 capacity, around 7,000 in basketball, and we have 30,000, you know, at football. So there's naturally that many more people at football to where if you have a few seconds between things, people are just kind of talking amongst themselves and it's an open air environment. But basketball, that's where, back to your point about that pressure, I definitely put that pressure on myself to be thinking three steps ahead. And that's where, again, working with a tremendous team that I've, by that point, I've communicated things that are coming to where, you know, we come out of one timeout where we did certain things. The second that play starts again, I'm saying, okay, now looking ahead at this timeout, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing.
So you have to forecast more in basketball rather than football and keep thinking.
Enough. So, but it's been good though. It's been fun. This is the first place I've been where I've done both football and basketball. So it's been very fun.
And how's that been then, now juggling two sports? And did you just do football beforehand or was it just basketball?
So when I was at Illinois State, when I was assistant director of marketing, I did women's basketball for three years, but I did not, I was the on-field contact for football to where I was not scripting the games, but I was the one on the field kind of pulling things together, which was the, it was an engaging place to be. A little, you know, I was the one kind of, you know, holding the team back from the tunnel. And that, that's, I mean, that's fun stuff. It's fun to be at the event level of those things, but for the scripting side now to be moved up to the press box, kind of, that's where I rely on the team on the ground to execute the things that we've talked about. But it, it is definitely a balancing act with both basketball and football, because there's that crossover season where basketball is starting, but football is still going. And it's getting into, for football, it's getting into the intense part of the year where they're trying to make a push for a conference, you know, a regular season championship or a bowl game or something. And so I want to make sure that our home environment is what they're asking for and is what is the best that it can be. And hopefully by that point in the year, ideally we would have everything down pat by then. So that, you know, it's a pretty, it's a well-oiled machine by that point. We're not really working out many kinks, hopefully by late in the season. But in terms of my day to day, I feel like there are times where it's like, man, I've got to, you know, suddenly we've got a football game on Saturday and a volleyball match on Sunday. And then we've got a basketball game Wednesday night. And so it kind of stacks up on top of each other, but that's where just, and it's simple, but just working ahead and it, working ahead allows space for things that need to change if they need to change. So it's a fun, it's a dynamic environment. You know, things come up day to day. It's a balance between like the things that I know to do, you know, religiously each day to keep projects moving, but also having space in case anything goes wrong to be able to, you know, divert and change things.
That's awesome. And what does the future hold for you? Where are you looking to go with this? Obviously, because, you know, are you looking to eventually, you know, work for like an NFL team, an NBA team, or would you want to stay on the sort of the collegiate level? What does the future sort of really hold? Obviously it's hard to think, and, but what does it hold?
I think, you know, at this point, I've come to enjoy the role I'm in and see the growth there. I think a next step for me naturally in as I look at career steps would be to go from a director of marketing to an assistant athletic director for marketing. So that's kind of that. And I have that position over me. He's my boss here at SMU. Not that I'm not sitting here planning to take his job, but in terms of growth, that's the type of role that I would see myself filling next, is to be able to have my own department and, and, you know, really, and that's where being an execution minded person is helpful, because, you know, seeing a full scope of a calendar year and what are the different things we need to be focusing on at different times, and bringing people with me to do that. So, you know, I could see myself being in that kind of a position within, you know, 5 years. I would love to be in that position of not whether it's here or somewhere else. But ultimately right now I'm focusing on the growth that I'm able to receive here at SMU. And it's really been a tremendous place for that. But I do still have a big respect for professional athletics. I think even in Dallas, I mean, to have those NFL and NBA opportunities, it's pretty cool to see even those that have had a chance to meet that that work in those areas. So I'm really, it's kind of a fun place to be in where I'm relatively open to just seeing what comes. But I would, I would like to eventually, you know, lead a department and be able to grow a brand in that way, whether it's here or someone else. But really enjoying where I'm at in the time being, because one thing I've learned is if you don't focus too well on where your feet are currently, that next step might not ever come. Mm-hmm. And so, cause I had to learn that early on of, you know, yeah, I'm here now. I was in a 10-month position and, you know, as a post-grad intern at one place, and was already halfway through the year thinking about what I was going to be trying to do the next year. And I was like, look, if you don't focus on where your feet are here now, you know, your employer can see that, and maybe, you know, you won't learn as much. So that's really the mentality I've tried to keep here at SMU is, what can I do here and now? The next thing will come when it does.
Absolutely,
and I'm not stressed about it. And that's where, again, being someone of faith, it's like, look, I'm not in control of my own destiny. I'm not in control of my own steps anyway. I like to think I am sometimes. But it's there's a free feeling to understand that, like, look, the next thing will come when it will.
That's right.
What can I do today? What can I do this week to live out my faith, to be a good employee and build others up that are coming up after me.
Amen. Well said. Amen. Oh, no, it's been so good. It's been really interesting. Actually, I found it really fascinating talking to you and seeing that other area. It's been fantastic. And I know the listeners, you know, will enjoy it. It's just giving that extra aspect to sport, but it's still such a rewarding part, and, you know, you get so much out of it. So thank you for sharing everything. Got a little quick fire question round. Are you up for that?
I'm up for it.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go. All right. Here we go. Question one is milk or dark chocolate?
Ooh, dark chocolate.
Everyone's going for it. It's interesting. I can't do it. I like dark chocolate. I'm a milk person, or white chocolate. I like white chocolate. I should put that in as well, but good. I like that. Okay, so question two is, if you could live in another decade or era, which decade or era would it be?
Ooh. Sometimes I think it'd be kind of cool to live in there's a lot going on in the world at this point, but like the 40s or 50s.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Just because, I don't know, like the... again, there was a lot going on at that point, but that's always been kind of an intriguing time in history to me.
Sure. Love that. No, I like that. So you have a dinner party and you can invite any three people to your dinner, dead or alive. Who would be at your dinner table?
Man. Three people. three people. Peyton Manning.
Okay.
He was my favorite quarterback growing up.
Yeah.
This is so funny because, I mean, there's so many people I could choose from. I feel like, someone who I think it politically in the United States that left a big legacy is someone like Ronald Reagan, I think would be really, just because, again, he handled a lot. And again, this is off the top of my head, but I think... Who's another person? Probably someone, a woman of influence from like earlier in the 20th century, someone like Amelia Earhart who was it I was thinking of? Not coming to mind at the moment, but yeah, I think just to hear a diverse number of voices would be in it from different ages. But yeah, and Peyton Manning's kind of a funny choice in the midst of that. But like literally, he's been my favorite athlete since I was like a child. Would for sure be, he would get the invite at least.
Yeah, love that. Okay, so question four is, Josh Remington, the movie's coming out. Who portrays Josh in the movie of your life?
Oddly enough, I feel like I've thought about this before. And I would want Matt Damon to portray. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be pretty cool.
Some reason I always go to the States and they always say that I look like him for some reason. I don't know why, but they say I look similar. I've had it multiple times, but
that's awesome.
Anyway. Yeah. what are your current favorite TV shows, past or present?
So favorite TV show of all time is probably either 24 or The Office.
Okay,
I mean, it's a cop out in some ways, but and more recently I watched Queen's Gambit on Netflix
good
recently.
Man.
That was
good
intriguing.
Man. Good yeah. man. Yeah, I've watched it.
That
good,
was interesting.
It?
Yeah. So I'm honestly historically I'm more of a movie guy. Okay. I do like movies because everything starts and finishes in like the 2.5 hour time range. Whereas shows, it's like there's 10 episodes and they're all an hour. Like, and that's where even some of those longer running shows, like, you know, I had jumped in at one point and watching a lot of like Grey's Anatomy, and it was like, man, there's like 19 seasons and they're still making the show. So there's really never a time that I'll be able to know that I watched every episode until they stop making the show. So I get overwhelmed, but whereas movies, it's like, you know what? It's 2 hours long and it's start and finish and go from there.
Okay. I'll add a question then. As you said, you're a movie guy. What's your favorite movie then of all time? If you're a big movie guy.
Remember the Titans football movie.
Okay. Okay. It's
Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Big fan of that movie.
Yeah, I like this. I love this good American sport films. Ronnie, have you seen Moneyball?
Yes, I do like Moneyball as well.
Good film, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good film.
Yep. Yeah, Hoosiers. Watched that recently. Okay. That, if you ever want to, if you ever want a sample of what growing up in the Midwest, and it's, I mean, it's a basketball movie, but it's set in small town Indiana, and there's scenes of, you know, kids playing hoops on the back of a barn or something. And it's not a fake thing. It's a real thing people do. And I thought that was pretty funny when I saw that movie. I'm like, yeah, they actually nailed it. But that's a good film as well. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of sports films.
Coach Carter. Seen that one?
Yes. That's a good one. Yeah.
Love that one. It's a good one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Decent, based on true events too, I think.
Yeah. He's a real person. Real guy. He is. Yeah. Good film. All right. And the last one is, what are your top three songs on your music playlist at the moment?
Ooh, I think actually I could probably tell you. Whether I could recite them or not, honestly. So one song I've really been enjoying recently is "You Say" by Lauren Daigle.
Okay.
It's a Christian song about who does the Lord say I am in the midst of, you know, what I might be hearing from someone else. "Truth I'm Standing On" by Leanna Crawford. That's another Christian song that's very good. And one song that it's an older song, but it's a Christian song that I really like by Stephen Curtis Chapman called "The Great Adventure."
Okay.
And it's just like this 90s Christian song. I've really been trying to make a point to fill myself up with good influences musically and Christian influences. And that's been a big thing for me recently. But when I run and stuff like that, I do dabble into like rap and hip hop and stuff just to get me going a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Brilliant. Well, Josh, thank you so much for giving up your time and for sharing and talking about your role and the business side of sport. It's been a real honor and a pleasure to have you. So thank you for giving up your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No,
really enjoyed it. It's been a great conversation.
Awesome. Absolutely. I've loved it. Well, there you go, guys. That's it there. That's Josh Remington. What a great guy. Oh, before I go, do you have any Instagram or pages they can follow you on or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So anything, if you were to be curious about anything that we do here at SMU, our SMU Mustangs social media channels, you can find me on LinkedIn primarily. I'm on and off of Twitter occasionally at JRM_44, but that's it primarily for me. Yeah.
Okay. Love it. Awesome. Brilliant. Well, it's been really good. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Another great interview, but a different side and different twist. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen. This has been the Reborn Fitness Podcast, and I will see you all same time, same place next week, Friday, 2 p.m. But until then, stay safe. Have a great weekend and a great week next week. See you Friday. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.